Evangeline sat stiffly on the edge of the bed in Finley's quarters, still wrapped in her bedsheet. Finley was sitting in a chair opposite her, scowling darkly. They'd been trying to talk, but not getting anywhere. Talking had never been what Finley did best. The backup view screen chimed suddenly, and Finley had to think hard for a moment to remember where it was. He'd never had to use it before. He finally found the small screen in the headboard of the bed and accepted the call. Secretly, he was glad of the interruption. Julian Skye's face appeared on the small screen.
Oh, Julian. I was worried. How are you? Are you all right? Listen.
We need to talk, Finley.
Of course we do. Look, I can't leave Evie just now. Why don't you...
We have to talk now, Finley. Come over to my townhouse. I can't leave. I can't risk being seen. You have to come here. It's important. My old Esper contacts have turned up a connection between Gregor Schreck of the Chojiros. They're working with Blue Block on some kind of scheme to undermine or maybe even destroy Parliament. I tried to contact Jack Random, but no one knows where he is. You're the only other person I can trust with this.
Yeah. Right. Shit. Some days everything happens at once. All right. Stay where you are. I'll be with you as soon as I can.
Sure, Finley. See you.
You're not seriously thinking of going out and leaving me, are you?
I have to. I need to talk to him, to explain. You saw the state of him when he left, and he looks terrible. I'm worried he might do something stupid. I won't be long.
What about me? Don't I matter? I don't want to be left alone, Finley.
I'll be back as soon as I can.
Finley!
Evie, I have to do this. The Chojiro stuff might be nothing, just an excuse to reach out to me, but I can't afford to assume that. If he's right, I've got to contact a whole bunch of people. Evie, you know I wouldn't leave you unless I had to.
You're always leaving me, Finley. Rushing off to kill someone, to be the hero one more time. It's always about what you need. What about what I need?
You're safe here. No one can get to you, not past arena security. I have to go. This is important.
And I'm not.
I didn't say that.
If it's so important, I'm coming with you.
Evie, you can't. You're in no condition to go anywhere. And I think Julian and I need to be alone for this. You get some rest. I'll be back soon, I promise.
Finley, if you leave me now, I won't be here when you get back. I mean it.
He left anyway, as both of them had known he would. Finley Campbell never could turn down a call to action. Back in his old home once again, Julian Skye turned away from the deactivated view screen. He felt cold and empty, and very tired. He couldn't believe that so much had happened in so short a time. Only a few days ago, his life had made sense. It had been ordered, secure, even routine. Now, everything he'd ever cared for was gone. Everything but BB Chojiro. But there wasn't time to feel sad or sorry. There were things he had to do. Preparations that had to be made before Finley arrived. Julian moved over to the low wooden table by the fire and picked up the small silver casket waiting there. Its lid held the family crest. His father had used it as a snuff box. Julian had used it for other purposes back in his rebel days. He opened the casket and took out a single black capsule, almost as big as his fingernail. He balanced it in his hand for a moment, considering its surprising weight, and then went looking for a glass of wine. Something that size was going to be hard to swallow, and he'd always had trouble with pills. But he managed it eventually, with the aid of a glass and a half of wine and a certain amount of strain. It felt decidedly uncomfortable going down, but he was beyond caring about things like that. It was necessary, so he did it. A single black capsule. Just a little something to hold him together while he talked with BB Chojiro. He hoped he wouldn't need it, but there was always the chance he would. He went and sat down in the parlor and waited for Finley to arrive. It took just under an hour, and when the doorbell rang, Julian was still sitting there. He went to answer the door himself. He'd given the servants the rest of the evening off. He didn't want any witnesses. He opened the front door to Finley, and the two of them nodded awkwardly to each other. Julian led the way back to his parlor. They sat down on facing chairs before the banked fire and looked at each other.
I never meant you to find out. I knew it would hurt you.
You killed my brother, Auric.
Yes, I did. I killed a lot of people fighting in the arenas.
He fought well. You could have just wounded him. The crowd would have turned up their thumbs for him.
He fought too well. He'd had armor implanted under his skin, servo mechanisms in his muscles. I really thought he was going to kill me. I stopped him with a sword thrust to the only part of him that wasn't armored. His eye.
You were the masked gladiator. Undefeated champion of the arena. You could have found a way to defeat him without killing him, if you'd wanted to.
Maybe. I don't know. There isn't time to think about things like that in the arena. It's kill or be killed. Your brother knew that.
Auric. His name was Auric.
What do you want me to say, Julian? That I'm sorry? All right, I'm sorry I killed your brother, Auric. But you and I killed a lot of people in the rebellion, especially in the street fighting at the end. Some of them just guards or soldiers, doing their job, their duty as they saw it. They were all someone's brother. I'm sorry for the pain I've caused you, Julian. But there's nothing I can do about it.
I know. I'm sorry, too. But sometimes, sorry isn't enough.
He reached out with his esp and shut down Finley's mind. Julian stood up and looked down at his friend's body and did his best to feel nothing at all. The door to his parlor opened, and three operatives from Blue Block came in from where they had been waiting in the next room. The leader looked down at Finley's still form.
Is he dead?
No, just sleeping. He won't wake up till my esp wakes him. And by then we'll be with B.B. Chojiro. Pick him up and carry him out. And treat him courteously. He was a great man once.
The three operatives from Blue Block dropped Finley's unconscious body onto the floor at B.B. Chojiro's feet. He lay still, barely breathing, his sword belt and holster gone, one arm falling limply away from his body, as though outstretched in supplication to B.B. She studied his body for a moment, then looked up to smile at Julian Skye, who stood a little to one side. He didn't smile back, but nodded to her.
Hello, B.B. It's been a while, hasn't it? I like your sweet, very airy. I brought you a present, a little something.
Hello, Julian. It's good to see you again. You always were very generous to me. I hope you had no trouble getting to see me.
I could have lived without the strip search and the probing fingers, but I can understand your need for security. You have a lot of enemies these days, B.B.
Successful people always do. You're looking very pale, Julian. Almost haggard. Have you been looking after yourself properly?
I've not been well. The rebellion took a lot out of me. It'll pass.
Good. I've seen all your Hollow shows. Very dramatic. I understand you're quite the heartthrob these days.
Oh, sure. I even have an official fan club. I can get you an autograph photo if you like. I always knew I had it in me to be a star.
So, is there anyone special in your life at present?
No. You know there isn't. There's only ever been you, B.B. You ruined me for anyone else. That's why I'm here. Why I brought you Finley. To show the depths of my feelings for you.
Dear Julian, there's never been anyone but you in my life, either. I never wanted anyone else. We belong together.
Julian indicated the three Blue Block operatives hovering silently in the background.
Get rid of the shadows. We don't need an audience.
B.B. gestured at them, and the three faceless men nodded and left. B.B. and Julian stood looking at each other over Finley's unconscious body. They gazed into each other's eyes, and there was a yearning look in both of their faces that might or might not have been real.
You're so beautiful. You're all I ever wanted. I would have laid down my life for you.
Why are you here, Julian? After all the terrible things I did to you?
I don't know. I'm still not sure whether I ought to kiss you or kill you. You hurt me, B.B. I trusted you, and you ripped the heart right out of me.
I know. I had no choice. I've belonged to Blue Block since I was a small child. They were my life, my everything. I could no more reject their programming than I could choose to stop breathing. I loved you, but they made me give you up. I cried for days.
Did you, B.B.? Did you really? I cried in the interrogation cells, but no one came to wipe away my tears. I haven't cried since. I don't think I have it in me anymore.
Why are you here, Julian? What do you want from me?
I had to come. And you know what I want. I want things to be the way they used to be. When we were in love and so happy. And we thought we'd spend the rest of our lives together.
I want that too, Julian. Whoever and whatever I've been, there's always been someone in me who loved you. We can be together again now you've proved your love. I never doubted you, but Blue Block insisted. I never stopped loving you, Julian. No one ever touched my heart like you did. Blue Block won't stand between us this time. They want us to be together. They've planned a great future for us. We can marry, and you'll become part of Clan Trujillo. We'll forget the past and the pain, and nothing will ever part us. I'll be yours forever, and you'll be mine. It's not so bad being in Blue Block. We can be happy together. All it will take is one last proof of your feelings. All you have to do for Blue Block, for me, is kill our enemy, Finley Campbell.
Julian looked at her, and then looked down at the unconscious body on the floor between them.
I always thought it might come to that. Choose between my love for you and my love for my friend. That's why you wanted him here. You never cared about him. This was always just about me. And I wondered what I was going to do when we finally got to this point. I never stopped loving you, BB. You were my first love and my first woman. And nothing can change that. But I've been through a lot since we last met. I see things more clearly now. And I know you'd say whatever it took to get me to do what you want. Truth and lies are all the same to you. Because the only thing in your life that really matters to you is Blue Block. They own you body and soul. It's not your fault. Not really. But you don't love me. You never did. I don't think you have it in you.
You're wrong, Julian. You're so wrong. There's more to me than just my programming. Blue Block shaped my mind, but my heart is still my own. We can be happy together. We can.
No. If you really love me, you wouldn't ask me to kill my friend.
Then don't. Let him live. You're more important to me than the death of an enemy.
She held out her arms to him, and he stumbled forward into them. They clung together, like two drowning people caught in the midst of rapids that threatened to tear them apart. Julian hugged her to him, his head resting on top of hers. He breathed in the subtle scent of her hair. She was so soft and wonderful in his arms. And then, Bibi drew the long, thin dagger hidden in her sleeve and thrust it expertly between his ribs. Bibi relaxed in his dying embrace and smiled into his face, so close to hers.
Sorry, my darling, but you were always too dangerous to be allowed to run free. If you had only bound yourself to me, forsaking all others, and allowed me to rein you to Blue Block, we could have been happy together. But I always suspected you were too honorable a man for that. Poor Julian, didn't you know there's no honor left in the world you helped to make?
Julian smiled at her, and his teeth were red with blood. He was breathing harshly now, and a mist of fine red droplets sprayed her face with his every breath. She didn't flinch. Julian still held her tightly, but she knew the strength would go out of his arm soon. Julian lowered his face to hers. He wanted to be sure she heard what he had to say.
I knew there was no honor in you, Bibi. Wake up, Finley!
Julian reached out to Finley with his esp, and the body on the floor was suddenly wide awake again. Finley surged to his feet, reaching for a sword at his side that wasn't there anymore. He glared about him, saw Julian holding Bibi, and then saw the knife in his side.
Julian!
You're
what?
In Tower Chojiro! Get out of here, Finley! I'm holding the doors shut with my esp to keep the guards out. You'll have to use the window.
Finley started towards Julian.
I'm not leaving you here. You're hurt.
I'm dying, Finley. I forgive you everything. You were always my friend. Now get the hell out of here. I've got a bomb in my belly.
Bibi gasped and tried to pull free of him, but his arms held her like bars of iron. Finley saw the truth in the dying man's face and threw himself out of the shattered window. Bibi kicked and struggled, screaming for help. Julian held her to him, their bodies pressed together. He was laughing and crying as he sent the ESP signal to the black capsule he'd swallowed earlier.